Please join with me in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my God, my strength, and my Redeemer. Amen. One of my favorite parts about the Olympics is the Parade of Nations that takes place in the opening ceremonies. I know that makes me sort of sentimental, but it scratches that sentimental piece. And then also I like geography and flags, so it's a chance to see many flags and try to be the clever person who knows where different places are. But I won't admit the ones I don't know, of course. But it's an exciting time. It's all the nations, large and small, are represented in the Olympics. People of great diversity are gathered together in some measure of unity at those opening ceremonies in the Olympics. As we celebrate All Saints Sunday this afternoon, today's readings from Revelation describe a similar scene of great diversity and yet unity. People from every nation, tribe, and language are gathered in worship. It's a gathering of people in unity, however, their communion isn't in being athletic or international spirit, but something much, much more significant. The mass of people described in Revelation 7 are people united in worship, united in the experience of tribulation, and united in purity and blessing through the blood of the Lamb. And the saints aren't the center of attention in this parade. God is. Their unity isn't what they have achieved, but what God has done for them. This is a vision of the communion of saints who are united in worship, coming out of tribulation, and clothed in robes white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, because of their personal holiness and their likeness to Jesus, there are historical figures in the church who are recognized as saints. There's St. Patrick, or St. Lucy, or Sancta Lucia in my family, and maybe some of yours. Or St. Nicholas are some examples. I think some of the children that are here, I think I see Erebus. She was a saint for trick-or-treating this year. We have Saints Angela, Lucy, and Elizabeth of Hungary represented within our congregation. And we rightly pray that God would give us the grace to follow those godly examples, these Christians who follow Jesus' example. These are people whom we usually think of as saints, people who bore the likeness of Jesus in word and action in a very special and profound way. But as we consider John's vision in Revelation, we also see that sainthood is not just limited to the saints with feast days, but that all faithful followers of Jesus will one day join the communion of saints, those united in worship, tribulation, and above all, purity and blessing through Christ's blood. In Christ, we obtain an inheritance, and that's a treasure that's reserved for us, the Holy Spirit being a seal and a guarantee for us to receive what all of the faithful departed receive now in its fullness in God's presence. In the preceding chapters of Revelation, John describes his vision first of four living creatures, which are representative of all creation, 24 elders, symbolic of 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles, and then 144,000 saints, with 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel. And so that is the after this that today's reading speaks of. After this, after these other groups are represented, the crowd from every tribe, tongue, language, and nation appears as described in today's readings. The vision moves from what can be counted to what is uncountable. I think for kids it might be a good example of a birthday party where it starts out with just your family members, and then maybe the whole church joins you, and then maybe your whole neighborhood joins you until it's totally flooded so that you can't count how many people are there. It's just totally overwhelmed with the number of people. This uncountable crowd in John's vision is there for the sole purpose of worshiping God. When the crowd of saints from every tribe, tongue, language, and nation worship him, and it sets off a chain reaction of worship from those others that are represented. Because in response, the elders, the angels, the four living creatures also respond in worship, saying, Amen. Together, the saints embrace and fulfill their purpose as God's priestly people, members of God's royal priesthood. Just like I get to lead prayers and songs, the saints lead heaven in worship. God loves his people, but they're not the focus of worship. He is. The saints are those who are gathered before the throne of God. Now, our children were baptized on All Saints Sunday, so this is a special time for our family. This morning, we lit their baptismal candles, and we read their baptismal verses and talked about this reading from Revelation. We talked together about the blood of the Lamb and how it's special. Because when the elder tells John about the saints, he says that they have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. But as I talked with my kids, when you wash something in blood, it rarely becomes white. It becomes red, blood red. So what is special about this blood of the Lamb of which John speaks? From very early in the Bible, beginning with Cain's murder of his brother Abel, blood was a mark of sin. God told Cain that Abel's blood demanded justice. Blood was something that stained and was therefore tied to sin. And that's why part of the reasons why we see so many rules about blood in Leviticus. The stubborn stain of blood reminds us that the wages of sin is death. That the blood of the sacrifices in the temple remind God's people that the wages of sin was death. However, in John's vision in Revelation, Jesus' blood was a much different effect than the blood of lambs and bulls in the temple. In verse 14, the blood of Jesus, the Lamb, provides a passage from death to life, from scarlet to pure whiteness, from sin to holiness. Jesus' blood does not condemn sinners, but saves them. Jesus' blood is not unclean, it is rather holy. It does not stain, but washes away everything that would make us unclean. The prophet Isaiah spoke of a purifying washing like this when he spoke and wrote, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They're red like crimson, they shall become like wool." Jesus, the Lamb of God, was obedient to all of these commands. He did good. He sought justice, corrected oppression, and brought justice to the fatherless and the widow. In his holiness, Jesus, the pure Lamb of God, made future sacrifices in the temple unnecessary, for he was the perfect sacrifice whose blood could wash away sin. His blood could wash his people white as snow. Though Jesus' blood makes you clean, his blood was offered for his saints in the same costly way that blood is always spilled through wounds. Yes, Jesus is risen from the dead and his tomb is empty, but in order to receive the grace of God through Jesus' blood, we must first come to the cross where his blood was poured out. As Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If we would follow him, we must follow in the way of the cross. Though following him in the way of the cross, as Jesus taught in today's reading from Matthew, suffering for righteousness' sake is not something that leaves his followers empty, broken down, or filled with shame, but quite the opposite. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The saints' suffering and tears or hunger for righteousness' sake are not in vain, for they are ways to draw close to Jesus. When Jesus confronted Saul, that famous persecutor of the Christians, he asked him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Our communion with Jesus is so profound that our sufferings are not merely our own, but his. The people with whom John first shared his vision were Christians who, like him, had personally suffered persecution for Christ's sake. They were hurt, they were thrown into dungeons, they were mocked and made fun of in public places. But as John sees it, tribulation for the sake of Christ is a passage from death to life. It can be seen as a purifying experience. It's part of the experience of washing robes white in the blood of the Lamb. The suffering of the saints is redeemed by the Lamb's suffering, for in him we are made a nation of priests who can now offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans that if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. For some, identity with Jesus' death may result in persecution, perhaps even death. Most of the saints whom we remember on saint days were like those kinds of martyrs. However, for them, as well as us, identity with Jesus' death is first through baptism. Baptism, which is a type of martyrdom in itself. For in baptism, we are identified with Jesus' death and resurrection and sealed by his Holy Spirit. As we'll pray with the Skarstens in a few moments, through baptism we are buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Baptism, that death to sin. Rising from baptism, we share in Jesus' resurrection life and now breathe of his Holy Spirit, the living breath of God. Jesus' disciples are then living members of the communion of saints who are washed clean with the blood of the Lamb and who worship before the throne of God. So as we witness this baptism, as we remember this All Saints Sunday, saints of God, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Your hearts shall be comforted. Your hunger and your thirst for righteousness shall be satisfied. You shall see God. Rejoice and be glad, for your great is your reward in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.